All right. Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome family, TLC. It's good to have you guys here. Happy New Year. From our family to yours. Yes. My neck is too thick. Every time I sneeze, it just pops out. So I'm just going to keep it open here, you know, for this. Ha! All right. Hey, guys, welcome. It's I know Super Bowl Sunday. Everyone's excited, right? But we're gonna preach the word of God. We're gonna set our foundation right before we go and celebrate the Niners win. Okay, so we're gonna. Hey, so you know, last month we finished up, you know, really the beginning of our introduction of our year. Always, you know, every year we start our year off with a message on loving God, loving people, serving the world. That's really the heart of the gospel, the Christian life. And we always want to lay that foundation first before we get into any direction for our church. But this message today will be the introduction of that. What we're hoping for is, what we're praying for is that our theme this year is not straying towards the goal. That was last year's message. But this is called Press On. Okay, our theme for 2024 is press on. It means that we're moving forward. We want to see spiritual growth, spiritual maturity in the life of a believer. Because I don't know what's coming, right? But I know something's coming, and I know that the one thing that we need to do is be prepared for it. Be prepared spiritually. Be prepared mentally, physically, right? Emotionally. I don't know when is it. That's going to come. I don't know what's going to come, but I know that there is something coming for God's people. There's something that God has planned, that there's a destiny, a vision, a trajectory for the people of God, or for your life. And so the only thing that we can do now in this season is to prepare ourselves to press forward until that day comes so that we are ready for it when it happens. Because this is the truth here, okay? Two people can face the same adversity, difficulty, challenges, ups and downs of life. One will be melted away because of it, destroyed by it, broken by it, and another can be actually strengthened and alive and refined and growing and mature because of it. What's the difference? Okay? There's something in the quality of the person, something about them that has an essence, a substance, that when adversity, when trials, when difficulty comes, it actually strengthens them, not breaks them, right? Because the sun can either harden clay or it can melt wax, right? It can harden the clay till it becomes a beautiful shape and form, or it can melt a candle so that it becomes absolutely wax. What's changed? The sun is still sun. Nothing's changed. But what's different is the substance of which those two things were made. And so when we talk about pressing on, we're talking about growing into this maturity, growing and becoming the substance in which God uses for whatever adversity that comes our way. So when adversity does come our way, it strengthens us, it defines us, it solidifies us, and not just melts us and destroys us. Okay? And that's my prayer for 2024, is that every brother, every sister in this house, every friend, every family member, that we would seek to grow into maturity. That we would seek to grow into this. And so today's message is very simple. It is about spiritual growth. And what is it? How do you become a substance where when adversity comes your way, how do you become something? So when adversity, when difficulties, when challenges, when the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of life comes into your being, you're able to actually be defined by that. You're able to be actually strengthened by it. That you can actually become something beautiful in light of it, versus someone who consistently breaks down and destroyed by adversities that comes your way. How? And we're going to get the answer from 1 Peter today, all right? Peter speaks to a church. He writes this letter to a church during a time of great adversity, a great challenges, a time when there's persecution, a time when Christians were burned alive for the sake of the enjoyment of a mad king, A time when Christians were thrown into the Colosseums for the entertainment of a crowd to be eaten by animals. A time where believers faced a lot of adversities. And Peter writes this letter to tell them, in this season, when you face these things, you can actually grow and be refined and actually become someone of deeper, stronger character versus being obliterated, melted away into nothingness. And the question is how? How do we grow into that? So open our Bibles. Let's look into it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, all the way to chapter 2, verse 3. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay? How do we become a substance that when faced with adversity, faced with pain, faced with struggles, you actually are being strengthened by it and not destroyed by it? How? And the first thing is this, is realizing that you have to be born again. See, look at scripture here. It says, for you have been, verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seeds, not things that's gonna fade and disappear, but of imperishable. Verse 24, for all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. There must be a transformation first. There must be a change within you. You cannot begin to be a substance that's going to grow and be strengthened by adversity if there is no change in your life. So you must be what the Bible calls born again. For everyone, it's like the grass. You live, you die, you fade away. All the glory and all the wealth and all the success that you have built in this life will eventually do what? Disappear. It will eventually be gone. I shared with you when I was walking through the cemetery, looking at plots of land, right? I see one, 18-something. No one's alive that knows this person. All their glory, all their wonders, fade away, because all men are like that. And so whatever we feel like we're building here, because everything we do in life, we're building into something. We're trying to build into our legacy. We're trying to build to that it will last beyond us. But everything, as the Bible says, we're just like grass. We come and we go. So the only way that you can become someone with different substance, eternal substance, the scripture says you have to be born again. There must be a change in your life. There must be a movement from death to life. There must be a going from asleep to awaken. There must be a renewal of the hardened heart that you have. Scripture says, I will give you a heart of flesh to take away your heart of stone. And the question we have to ask is, are we changed? Are we truly born again? Do we sense that God is working and alive and speaking to us? That Jesus Christ has come and he has and you recognize that he is the one that breathes life into us. Is there a reality like that in your life? For some of us, maybe no. Right? And I want to share with you, I get it. And I also want to share with you that I understand when difficulties do come, and they will come, and they always come. Sometimes it just melts us away. We get defeated by it. We get broken down by it, hardened, brittle because of it. I want to share with you that, and I hope you guys understand today, that there's a good news out there. There's a good news that God has come to not just give you a hope for heaven. That's not what the whole thing. God has come to restore everything that was broken in your life. He's come to restore your heart, your mind, your soul, your being. He's come to restore what you have always been meant to be. That longing in your heart, that chasing in your soul, that thing that you're yearning for, you're chasing through with success, you're chasing through relationship, you're chasing through material, all the stuff that you're chasing for, what you truly are chasing for is God. You might not realize it, but there's a God-shaped hole in your being. And the only thing that can actually fill that is Him. And the beautiful good news is this: He has come. He has come to let you know you don't have to chase anymore. He has come to let you know I can restore from the beginning. We can start again. We can reset and you can be born again. How do you become a person of imperishable seed that cannot be broken but refined and actually through trials grow into something even more majestic? How? One, He says you have to be born again. But some of us who are born again, here's the problem, right? You are born again, but you have this kind of tendency to say, I think I'm losing my faith, PT, right? You're born again, but you're always like, after a while, like, I think I'm losing my faith. I don't feel God anymore. You know why that happens? Scripture tells us. It's because you're babies, right? It's not that you've lost your faith. And when people say like, oh, it could be, but let me explain. Maybe some of us who say, like, I think I'm losing my faith, PT. It's probably not you're losing your faith. It's probably because you're just a baby in the faith, okay? A baby in the faith has that tendency, okay? We're babies. We're infants. When we step into a life with God, you start all over again. You start from the beginning. You start as an infant, and you grow into maturity. But most of us, we have stayed as infants. Think about the characters of a baby. It's very much similar to sometimes your spiritual characteristic, right? Just as there are characters of a typical child, it's the same thing as a typical Christian who's young. Babies are unstable. Aren't they unstable? Okay. Children, they will cry and cry. And then you offer them something and they'll stop crying. Like, I'll give you an example this past Friday. It's hilarious, right? My son, we were playing that Vietnamese bingo game. You guys know that Vietnamese, you call a number, right? So Enoch lost twice to his brother, right? There was a bunch of kids were playing, but Enoch lost twice. So you know what he did? He walked over to the family room. He lay down. He grabbed the pillow. He put it over his face. And he was just crying, right? Right? He was crying, and that is, he did that on purpose because he knows. He said, I always tell him, you can cry as much as you want. I just don't want to hear it, right? So he just cried. So he's like, he's screaming into the pillow. He's like, ah, right? And so, you know, my wife says, go check on your son. I was like, all right, I'll go check. I was like, what's going on? I said, what's wrong? He's like, ah. He's just like, you know, he's crying. And he's like, what happened? I lost. What? At bingo? I was like, you're lost to Seth, right? You know, he's crying. He's inconsolable, okay? My mom shows up. Mom's like, hey, what's wrong? You know, in broken English. He's like, I lost. Like, how many times? You know, two, right? So my mom thought he lost $2, right? And so she said, I'll give you 10. He's like, okay. Also, he just stops, right? Unstable, okay? Like, what, dude, you were crying, like screaming into the pillow just 10 seconds ago. All of a sudden, mom gives you 10, grandma gives you $10, and you're like, yay, yay. Why is that? Because children are shallow, right? They're shallow. Their sorrow and their joy only goes down so deep. And baby Christians were the same way, right? As long as everything is going well, oh, God loves me. I love God. Everything's going well. And then what happens? As soon as something bad happens, why, God, right? Woe is me. I'm losing my faith, right? What are you? You're a baby. Right? Is that bad? No, it's not bad. Right? Everyone starts off as a baby Christian. Everyone starts as an infant. But it's what? You can't stay a baby. It's okay. It's okay that you're a child. Everyone starts there, but it's not okay to stay there. So a lot of times when we say, I'm losing faith, PT, maybe you're not losing faith. Maybe you just have to recognize that you are a baby. Right? You have to recognize that, and you have to recognize, I'm being a child. I need to grow. I need to mature. I need to move forward. You have to recognize that you're... I'll give you another characteristic. It's really great. Self-centeredness. Babies are self-centered, right? Children have to be taught not to interrupt a person. It doesn't matter who's talking, right? Or the subject matter. When they want your attention, what do they do? Daddy, 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 mommy, 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 right? They can't read the room. It's like, dude, this is a serious conversation right now, right? I need you to just relax for a second. Or just wait until I'm done. Daddy, they want the attention. They need it. They want they expect everyone to drop everything in order to meet their need. They want to be seen at that moment. And they have a hard time focusing on a conversation that does not deal with them, right? That's a baby. And guess what? When we say, oh, I'm losing my faith, PT, I don't feel God, it's probably not because you're losing your faith, it's probably because you're just acting as a baby. Because think of a typical young Christian. Do you constantly get your feelings hurt? Right? Because you don't understand why people don't just drop everything to meet what's going on in your life. You get bent out of shape when people don't notice what you did. I did so much for the church. No one sees anything. No one's doing anything else. I'm the only one doing anything, you say. You always feel like people are mistreating you or taking advantage of you. Like, you know, I don't get it. Why don't they just, you know, understand this process, right? They're not like, you know, what's the word in Vietnamese? Big deal. They're not big deal, right? They don't get it. You know what that is? You're not losing faith. You're not like, oh man, like, I'm the only one. You're just a, what? Baby. And it's okay to be a baby. It's okay. Everyone starts there, but it's what? Not okay to stay there. Right? It's not okay. How do we become a people of a substance that actually when difficulties, when trials, when hardship comes, that it actually refines, strengthens you, and actually makes you someone even more sturdy, someone even more firm? How? You gotta be born again. And you gotta recognize, if you are born again, you gotta recognize that sometimes maybe you're just a child. You have to recognize where you are, who you are at that time. I'll give you one more example, okay? Because I have a kid, so I have a lot of kids' examples, right? Kids have what? Short attention span, don't they? Right? Why do you think you have to talk to kids like this? Is that owie? Why can't you just say, dude, you just got hurt, right? Suck it up, right? You can't do that, right? Because, you know, they just look at you like, what are you talking about, right? They need you like, oh, you're so cute. You have to like have some sort of like, you know, change in your tone and your voice. You have to use different words. Is that a boo-boo, right? Why? Because if you talk naturally and normally, you can't keep their attention. Kids are like that. In the same way, if you're a Christian and you say, I'm losing my faith. I'm born again, but I'm losing my faith. I don't feel God. You know why? Because sometimes you act like a child. You need excitement. You need the lights to be kind of dim, the mood to be set, right? You need to see miracles after miracles. The moment something boring comes in, you check out in your brain, right? You want quick answers. You want God to come through just like that for you. Because you have such a short attention span. Like, if he doesn't come through, you're like, man, God must not be around. God must not care. God must be for me. You jump from church to church, trying to find the next, you know, hit of spiritual high. You're babies. Because mature Christians understand what? They understand the long game. Mature Christians understand that character is developed over time. Character is developed on discipline, on truth, on holy living. Mature Christians, they want to hear the truth. They're willing to understand that Christianity is a long obedience in the same direction. That it takes days, it takes time, it takes months. You're able to stick it out for the Christian life. But when we say like, oh, I don't feel the faith. I'm stuck. I'm static. I don't feel God around me. I'm not saying you're not a believer, but what I'm saying is that maybe you're just a baby. And it's okay to be a baby. Everyone starts there. But guys, we've been together for 12 years. It is not okay to stay a baby after all this time. Right? Babies need to be fed. Right? Babies don't like vegetables. Right? You have to give them what's nourishable for them. You have to actually put it in their mouth and eat it It's good for you. You have to do whatever you have to do. You have to like figure out a way to entertain them so that you can get them to eat what's good for them. Because they can't. They don't want to. They wouldn't want to. In the same way, as a young believer, what happens? You need to be fed. I have to figure out every single Sunday how to preach this message in a way that you would actually take it, right? If I went and I went down my, you know, my use all my seminary skills, going to the role of theology and all that stuff, you might be like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die, right? I don't want this anymore. So not that I'm watering it down, but I'm finding ways to give it to you so that you can actually eat it. And that's okay. Sometimes you're like, oh, I just don't get anything out of the message. It's not that it's the message, right? It's that you refuse to what? Eat it. You refuse to eat what is good for you, what is nourishable for you. Right? And it's okay, because we're babies. But it's not okay to stay as a baby. Right? You guys get what I'm talking about? You guys following this? Well, some of the reasons why there's a lack of growth, lack of ability to stand underneath the difficult times, lack of ability to deal with the struggles. It's not because you're not a believer. It's because sometimes you're just acting as a child. And you have to recognize that about yourself. And you have to ask the bigger question. Are you willing to grow up? Are you willing to take the step to press forward and to grow? Right? For some of us, we just need to take the step into maybe Jesus Christ is who he says he is. One last one, okay? Babies are gullible. Babies are gullible. They believe anything. I had Eric convince my son that I was in the Backstreet Boys, the Asian version, right? and he Googled some random five dudes, right? And Enoch looked at it and was like, dude, that looks daddy. I was like, what? Right? Because, you know, he had the hat, and I'm like, oh, that's daddy. I'm like, really? Right? You really fell for that? Like, come on. Like, Seth was like, you know, he's not as gullible, but he's like, Enoch was like, daddy. And then, yeah, I think he named a bunch of other, like, guys from our church. Like, I think, like, Big Sam's like, that's Big Sam. Like, Big Sam is skinny, right? I was like, wow, right? How long ago was this, daddy? I was like, oh, my goodness. Why are you so gullible? Why are you so gullible, right? But in the same way, Christians were in the same place. Young believers, babies, we're so gullible. Everything that comes around, like, you're just waiting for one news, you know, to like, hey, you know, we discovered this. Oh, PT, Christianity is down the hill. God is wrong. 2,000 years. All of a sudden, you think that one discovery is going to shake the foundation of a Christian faith that has changed the world? I don't think so. But you're gullible enough to believe it, right? I had to watch this show called Ancient Aliens. Because I had people telling me, PT, you gotta watch it, man. Freaking, there were aliens back then, right? The whole Jesus thing, it's all aliens, right? I'm like, it's like, I worry for your soul, bro. Like, what's going on? Like, do you really believe that? Dude, watch it. I'm watching, I'm like, oh, it's pretty good, right? It's like, oh, this is pretty interesting, you know? But I'm like, man, like, just Google this. Just Google half of the things they're talking about. You know, like, I'm watching, I'm Googling, like, stones? What kind of stones are these? I'm like, no, this is, why? How? Gullible. And just one little news comes out. That's it. Christianity is destroyed. PT, I have to leave the faith. Right? No, you shouldn't. All it tells me is that what? You are a baby. Right? And it's okay to stay a baby. That's cute. But you can't stay that way. And you have to recognize that. You have to recognize that. Okay, I'm not upset. It's just a reality. Do you recognize that a lot of the tendencies you have when it comes to your faith and the way you feel about it, the way you feel like I'm not growing, I'm not feeling it, I'm not experiencing God. A lot of that could be is because you have chosen to stay static in your life. You have chosen. And you have refused to grow. Maybe even more, you have not recognized that your tendencies, your temperament is a baby. When you're born again, you start in the beginning. We all start off as babies, right? technically, if I was to say that, I am a 22-year-old Christian, right? 40-year-old man, but 22-year-old Christian. Still learning, still growing, still going through the stuff, right? I've got past puberty, which is good, right? You know when Christians go through puberty? It's when they like recognize how horrible they don't know what's going on in their bodies. They're like, why is my soul so torn? Right? I know I'm supposed to do this, but I want to do this. And like, why is this such a hard thing? Hey, welcome to your puberty body, right? That's what happens, right? You're just confused. You're wondering what's going on in your heart. You're wondering why there's a battle in your soul for right and wrong. That's it, right? Your body's going through that because you're growing, you're maturing. But some of us, we still choose to stay as babies. How do you become a substance? How do you press forward? One, you have to recognize where you are. Are you a child in the faith? Do you recognize that you are that you are saved? Because God, when God saves you, He will not leave you. He will not just all of a sudden just abandon you. He will not just walk away from you. He's going to be for you, never against you. He will be with you. Right? He's not going to disappear from you. He will find you where you are, but He will never leave you where you are. So when you are born again, you are born of imperishable seeds. You will not lose. But here's the thing. The question is, are you born again? And if you stay as a baby forever, if you have no desire, even as I share these things, if you don't recognize that that's me, right? That could be a chance. That could be a sign that maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. And you don't know what I'm talking about because the Spirit of God, the presence of God is not working. But if you sense, that's me, right? I am gullible. I do need to be fed all the time. I do have a short attention span. Hey, good. Recognize it and grow. Recognize it and grow. This is how you become something defined, strengthened by adversity. But the question is, how do we grow? How do we grow? How do we grow? Okay? Three things as a believer. Three things to think about to grow. If you really want to grow, you gotta. And this is not just as a believer. These principles can be. If you're not a believer, this is a principle too. But I want to give you guys at least the argument that in Christ is the best solution, the best answer for this, for growth. Okay, three things to grow, and it's found in here, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. How do we grow? First thing is this. The first principle is that there's a way of acceptance. There's an obedience. You accept what is being spoken to you, and then you go out and you obey it. Okay? You accept what is being spoken to you, and you go forth and you obey it. You know that something outside of yourself has to speak into you if there is going to be some type of growth that happens. There has to be an outside force acting upon you if you're going to move forward. All other ways of thinking in this world tells you that to look within. Look, if you want to grow, if you want to become a better person, look within your soul. Look within your heart. You'll find yourself with that. Can you imagine if I let my kids figure out their own maturity by looking within themselves? Right? How many of you guys would just let your... Like, how many of you guys would just let the kids figure out their maturity by looking within themselves? What do you think will happen if you just let them do anything they wanted within themselves? As you just let it pour out. Go ahead, whatever you want, just let it express yourself, right? They're going to get themselves killed, right? They will jump into things, they will put their fingers in things that will actually kill them. Because if you look for within yourself, you will never find it. To grow, you always need an outside force to work upon you in order to grow. And so the way in which you begin to grow is that you accept this outside voice speaking in to speak into truth into your life to seek you to grow. Some of us, we allow for our culture to be our voice to help us to grow. And our culture tells us what? Tells us exactly what that. Look within yourself. That's what you gotta do. The more you look within yourself, the more you will grow. And that is it's counterintuitive because you recognize this. If you let anyone do what they truly wanted by themselves, looking with, they will never grow. someone has to speak into that truth and says, hey, this is the pathway to maturity. This is the pathway to success. This is the pathway to life. How do we grow? You have to accept what God's saying to you. And you got to obey. What does God say? Accept God's word. When he says, you got to forgive. Some of us say, I can be a Christian. I can do that, but I can't forgive my family. I can't forgive my mom. I can't forgive my dad. I can't forgive that person for doing that thing to me. I can't forgive. And yet God says, I have forgiven with my life. I have given my life to forgive you. The debt that you owe me was so much more than the debt that that person owed you. I'm calling you to forgive. Are you willing? Can you? Can you step into that? Will you? Will you accept this and obey it? Right? That's how you're going to grow. Like, you can't grow by saying, I like you, God. You're good, but I'm not going to accept what you say to help grow me into a place of maturity. I'm just going to like do my thing. And you know what usually what happens when you let a kid just do their thing? Chaos happens, right? I mean, all you parents, I think you guys know. I mean, but bunch of you guys were kids once. You guys all knew this too. Like, if you let to do your thing, you do some crazy stuff, right? You think you can jump off a building and say, I'm going to fly like Superman, right? You do crazy things because left to your own devices, without any outside truth to guide you, you are going to find yourself lost. So do you accept what God says when you move forward? For example, another example. God says you ought to be Christians should be a people of generosity. Generous people, not frugal, not cheap, generous. What you give. And why are you generous? Not because you're trying to show off to people. You're generous because you know what you have received. The gift that you have in Jesus Christ, of eternal worth, of eternal value, there is nothing on this earth that will come into comparison. So you're able to give away your gifts. You're able to share. You're able to go above and beyond giving because you have been given so much. And so when God's word says, would you accept this and obey it? You ought to be a people of generosity, a people who offer, a people who give, who uses their finances for blessings, who help, who open their homes for hospitality, who cares for lost. You ought to be a generous people with your time, your energy, your fruits, your labor. Would you accept that and would you obey that? See, the way we grow, the way you grow, the way I grow, from baby into maturity, the way we press on into this, is that you have to accept what God is saying and obey it. But not just accept what he says, but also accept his evaluation of you. You gotta accept what he says about you, that you are more wicked than you ever dare believe. But because Jesus died for you, you are more loved than you could ever dare hope for. Some of us will accept one of those things. Some of us will accept, I'm very loved. Yeah, right? But I don't want to accept that fact that I'm wicked. I'm too prideful to receive that. Some of us will say, you know what? I can't be loved. I'm unlovable. Right? But to grow, you gotta accept both evaluation. That you are more wicked than you can possibly dare believe, and you are more loved than you can possibly dare hope for. You guys ever watched the movie The Purge? I watched it once and it just freaked me out. So I never watched part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5, all that stuff. Don't watch The Purge, right? Basically, if you never watched The Purge, don't watch it. The concept is this: the world is messed up, right? And so they said, like, the only way we're gonna fix the world is one day in the whole year, no laws. No constraints, no boundaries. You can do whatever you want. And you will not be arrested. You can kill, you can murder, you can rape, you can do whatever, you can pillage, you can plunder, you can do whatever you want, and there will be no consequences. And as I watched that, what freaked me out was just the imagination of what people could do. Like, whoever directed, whoever wrote it, like, they got some deep, like, And like, this is what our hearts are capable of becoming. When there's no consequences, no boundaries. The true wicked, we still have boundaries. You guys get that? You have boundaries because your own moral conscience. God has set up all these boundaries in our life. Our conscience, our family helps set up the boundaries. Our nation, if done right, helps set up the boundary. And then the last boundary to keep sin at bay, you know what that is? It's the church. So all of these things helps keep us in these boundaries for flourishing. But when all these things are corrupted, man, sin flows free. And if you ever wonder, like, why do Christians get all crazy about, like, the government and stuff like that? It's not that we're political, right? But we recognize that if there is no boundaries, if there is no covering, the extent of human corruption, human dealings, the evil that we are capable of is unbelievable. And so the worst thing happens when the church gets corrupted, right? And we have seen in history many times when church gets corrupted. But thank be to God that in this word of his, there's a self-correcting mechanism. That whenever there is corruption, whenever there is brokenness, God raises up people to redirect the course. He raises up prophets to redirect the course of the people again, to keep the boundaries of sin. But there will be a day when that is gone. And that's what hell is. Hell is the freedom of that, living until you're nothing. And here's my thing, right? We are more wicked than we can ever possibly dare imagine. But here's the good news. God knew that. He knew that by yourself, you could not get out of that. And so he gave his one and only son. He gave up his one and only son to come and to show you, I love you and I will pursue you to the end of days. I will pursue you. I will pursue you. And I will not stop. How do we grow? Would you accept that? If you're a young believer, you're a baby, and you recognize as your baby, do you know how you're gonna grow? It's not to stay a baby. Not to stay static. Stagnant. It's good. I'm okay where I'm at. It's to receive what he has to say, to accept what he has to say, and actually live it out. But here's the second thing. It's the way of nourishment. Right? Chapter 2, verse 2, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Peter knows that in the Christian life, there's baby seasons, there is, you know, puberty seasons, there is maturity season, there's growing season, there's maturity season. There are seasons in the Christian life. And he's saying what you need to do to grow is you have to have the way of nourishment. Something has to nourish you, okay? Some of us, I use this analogy for a men's group, but some of us, we read the Bible. The Bible is to be read not like, it's like, reading the Bible is like eating a jawbreaker. Right? How do you eat a jawbreaker? You have to suck on it, let it melt in your mouth, right? So you can taste the sweetness. Would the wisest thing be to bite in the jawbreaker? Okay? Because by the very name, right, it will do what? It will break your jaw. It's hard, right? And so some of us, when we get to read the word, we get into like, oh, this is hard. I can't read it. You spit it out, I'm done. That's not how you're supposed to read it. You're supposed to get in there and let it nourish you, to digest it slowly, to cut it up, take it by pieces, layer by layer, taste it, let it melt in your mouth, and then ask the question, what am I gonna do with it? If this is true, what is it that God wants me to do? If this is true, what does God want me to believe about him? Or if this is true, what is it that God wants me to exercise now in my life? If this is true, where do I go? We're supposed to seek for the way of nourishment, not just to spit it out and forget about it. This is the nourishment for the Christian soul. Right. Last week I said, you know, we have high view of the word of God. We're like, oh, this is God's word for sure. I'm all for that. But we have low knowledge of it. We don't know what's in it because we approach it thinking we just bite into it and it'll just kind of make sense to us. The word of God needs to be savored. It needs to be slowly digested. It needs to be tasted. It needs time. But when you do, It becomes so alive, it becomes so real, and it actually gives nourishment to your soul, and it leads you to grow. It leads you to make choices. It leads you to make stands. It leads you to take steps of faith. It leads you to actually grow from baby to maturity. Okay? Third thing, how do we grow? How do we grow? You have to accept the way of acceptance, the way of nourishment, and then lastly, the way of love. Verse 22, it says what? So that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Okay? You cannot grow on your own. You cannot be a Lone Ranger Christian and think to yourself, you can go at it alone. If you think that way, you're still a baby. Right? You're still a child. I can do this. I got it. I'm on my own. No. The Christian life is never meant to be alone. You have to have relationships. You have to have community. You have to have people speaking truth into you. You guys ever hear yourself being recorded? Like when you speak, when I speak to you, I think I sound pretty cool, right? I think my voice sounds pretty deep. I think I have like very nice, like, you know, there's a nice little tone to me, right? At least that's what I hear in my head, okay? But then when I watch myself, you know, I'm like, what? Why does I sound so high? All right? Why is it so squeaky? Like, is that how I always talk? And, you know, I ask people, like, that's exactly it. And like, man. Because you never know that by yourself. You need an outside perspective speaking into that, right? And in the same way, if you're going to say, I'm going to grow as a believer, you need someone on the outside speaking into your life. You need a believer who has grown, who's gone the path to kind of guide you, to cover up your weaknesses. That's why we have small groups, that we can gather together. Not so that we can do like, you know, powwow and this, but we gather together so that we grow into relationship with each other, so that we can speak truth into each other. That's why we have salt. That someone who loves you would really be willing to say the hard truth to you. Not because they're trying to like control you or dominate over you, but because they love you. And they will go the distance to say, hey, I don't think that the way and what you're choosing is actually good for you. I don't think that this is conducive to the actual life that's going to bring flourishing. I don't think this is kingdom living. We got to think twice about this. You need community. The way in which you grow is that you grow with community. But there's so much of us that says, I don't need people around me. I don't need to be a part of things. I'm okay where I'm at. And therefore, you've never experienced the depth of where God wants you to be. And you're stuck. And you're static. How do we become a substance that's imperishable? You gotta be born again. You gotta recognize that even if you are born again, that sometimes you are a baby still. And you gotta seek to grow. Seek to grow in this. Right? You can't. Here's the beautiful thing about God. Okay? No matter how you feel towards him, if you are his, he's never left you. Can you imagine like Seth and Enoch like telling Dad, I don't like you right now. Okay. Okay. You're still my son, right? It's like, I don't want to deal with you right now. Okay. Right? I don't feel like you're a good dad right now. Okay. Right? But guess what? I'm still your father. I still love you. I'm still going to take care of you. Right? And I'm a bad father, let alone the good, good father who wants so much more for you. You got to grow, church. We can't stay the same stagnant believers that we've been for all these years. There's going to come a time when you got to let God speak into your heart to receive it and actually go out and live it. You gotta open this word and actually hear what he has to say to you. And not just close just because you think it's hard and you think it's only for like pastors and preachers to read it. The word of God has been translated for you to read if you would just take your time and digest it. And one more, you need community by your side. You need people speaking truth into your marriage, into your single life, into your relationship, into your work life. You need people who walk this journey to tell you these things, to help you along these things. Here's the last thing. Let me end with this. And all of this growth, all of this is not driven by your own willpower. It's not driven by your own desire. It's driven by and motivated by God's goodness. Look at verse 2. So that it may grow up in salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Because the Lord is good, because he is good, you move forward in growth. You when you can see his goodness, when you can taste of his goodness, you want to grow. You don't want to stay a child. You know, when a guy meets a good woman, when a man meets a good woman, right? Someone who challenges, someone who elevates, someone who calls him to be better than who he is right now. You know what he does? Out of this goodness of this, he would actually raise himself to that place. Some of you ladies, you set the bar way too low, right? You're like, if he's breathing, he's good enough. No, that's not good for guys, right? You just set the bar pretty high. Okay, not Jesus high, but high, okay? Right? But you said this, hey, I need a man. One, basic, two basic principles. Does he love Jesus and does he have a job? Okay, that's really, just really the basic principle here. Okay, if he loves Jesus, this is what you know. If he truly loves Jesus, you know he'll change. Right? If there's an anger issue, he'll change. Because God will speak to him. If he has a problem with pride, he'll change. Because God will speak to him. If he has issues with communication, he'll change. Because God will speak. And this vice versa too, okay, ladies? I'm not making brothers, trust me, okay? It works the same way, right? If you have a noble woman who loves Jesus, she'll grow into that. Because she's not loving you, she's loving Christ. And in loving Christ, she loves you. Right? Do they love Jesus? We recognize that. You get elevated by that. The whole job thing is just so they don't be passive. You know, you have a job. You can have a boy who loves Jesus and still, you know, lives with his mom and mama's boy, right? We want a boy who's not passive, who actually has direction in his life, right? That God is leading him down somewhere. Anyways, we'll get to that another time, right? But when you can taste of God's goodness, there's something in your soul that desires to grow. Here's the thing about Christianity here. Here's the thing about Christianity, okay? I was a Buddhist, you know? The Eastern philosophies, Eastern religion. Everyone gives props to Jesus. You know that, right? Right? The Hindus, they say Jesus is another reincarnation of Vishnu. Right, another one of the spiritual beings. They give props to Jesus. Even some Buddhists would say Jesus is an enlightened one. Right, he's got it. Okay, they all point to Jesus. I mean, Buddha himself, Siddhartha Gautama, he would say what? He would say, you know, I'm not the way. I'm just here to point you to the way. Muslims would say, you know, Jesus is a great prophet. Everyone points to Jesus as okay, but only Jesus was what's a good word? Dope enough, and that's too old, right? That's too old. Only Jesus was like, you know, give me a Gen Z word. I didn't hear that. Only Jesus was crazy, okay, I'll take that, right? Only Jesus was crazy enough to show up to the scene and says what? Y'all, I am the way, okay? Everyone's pointing, everyone's giving me lots of props, right? And they're like, dude, but I'm the only one that says I am the way. Jesus was the only one who Jesus is the only one who said that. Everyone says that we're reaching, we're finding, we're pointing. And Jesus says, don't point. I'm him. Right? I'm him. And he didn't just show up as prideful. If you read the book of Mark, it's just such a great snapshot of his life. He's so convicted, and yet he's so approachable, right? He's strong, and yet he's so gentle. He has power, and yet he exercises it in servitude. There's something so unique and so beautiful and so good, and that's what resonates with Christ versus everything else. If you have no religion, if you have no faith, if you don't believe there is a God, then the life you live has no meaning. What are you living for? You live, you die, you're done. There is no tomorrow. Everything fades away. So even what you do now makes no sense. There is no meaning to your life. But you live as if there's meaning, don't you? You live as if there's purpose. You know why you do that? Because you borrow. You borrow from the Christian sense that there is purpose. And you're not borrowing from it. It is the very Spirit of God trying to awaken that in you, telling you there is purpose. But you gotta look for it in me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father but through me. When you see how good and the way in which he takes us to the Father, it's not by telling us. Because if I tell you, you're not gonna do it, right? You can't be told something. I tell you every Sunday that you are a sinner in need of salvation. How many of you guys walk away like, oh, I'm a sinner, right? You're like, oh, that's nice, PT, right? I'll hear it again next Sunday, right? You can't be told. You have to be shown. And what did Jesus do? He didn't point like everyone else. Point, this is what you got to be told. This is what you got. Jesus came and he showed the way. He said, you could not come. You could not find peace. You could not have hope. You could not face adversity because you are chasing. You are lost. You are dead in your sins. That's why you could not find it. Jesus came and he showed the way. He says, the only way to the Father, the only way to that is someone has to die in your place. Someone has to take the hit that you deserve, that you can walk to the Father. And Jesus said, let me show you the way. And he showed it on the cross. When he cried out before the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in his death and in his resurrection, he defeated the grave and he says, now, come after me. This is the way. I made it clear for you. Just come after me. Recognize that you need me, that you cannot do it on your own. You can chase for the rest of your life and you realize you will chase and you will be lost. But you come to me and I will show you the way. So I pray, let's not stay stagnant, right? Let's not stay static. Let's not stay infantile. Let's not stay as children, as babies. But would you press on with me in 2024? Would you take the steps of faith to grow this year? Would you seek the face of God? Would you recognize I have been a child? I have child tendencies. It's time to grow. It's time to mature. It's time to let God's word form me and shape me. It's time to trust in what he has to say to me and to live it out. It's time to surround myself with community and allow for the love of the brothers and the sisters to speak truth into my life. It's time to grow. Let's not run anymore. Let's press on towards the goal, which Christ Jesus has called us heavenward for. Amen? Let's pray.